fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Great to have you back, Nnamdi. Anthony Joshua, the world heavyweight champion. Lots of questions swirling around his next opponent, originally scheduled to fight Gerald Big Baby Miller on June 1st at Madison Square Garden in New York. Miller tests positive several times. Talk about that, Nnamdi.
Sonny, he failed 3 separate drug tests. Sonny, to remind you, in 2014, right here in California, he tested positive for banned substance, and he was suspended by the California Athletic Commission for 9 months. So he's been a cheater for a while. We in the fight game, we cannot understand how a man can be so stupid to walk away from the piles and tons of money on the table.
How much money is the big baby losing?
It's shocking, Sonny. His guarantee alone was $6.5 million. And he gets a cut of the pay-per-view from the UK. So on that alone, he clears $7 million. And then he's guaranteed 2 fights, regardless of what happens to him with Anthony Joshua. $1.5 million per fight, which means if you add $7 million to $3 million, Sonny, this crazy man walked away from $10 million. This will haunt him forever.
What type of suspension is he facing?
Well, since this is the second time around and they found a whole lot of stuff in his system that can even hurt him down the line, they're not just going to give him a slap on the wrist. We're looking at anywhere from 9 months to a year and a half to even 2. Just remember, Canelo tested positive. Luis Ortiz tested positive. Alexander Povetkin. All these guys are still fighting. But the fight wall, the boxing wall, must make a statement with this situation. Put this guy away for at least 2 years so that you don't mess up a big fight like this. And with all the money on the table, so it's important for the boxing wall to teach him a lesson.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Let's stick with the big boys, Nnamdi. Tyson Fury and WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, challengers to Anthony Joshua, possibly down the road. What's the latest with them?
Well, don't expect Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder to go for this rematch we all wanted after the fight here in December in Los Angeles. Tyson Fury is going to take on some guy we've never heard of called Tom Schwartz, June 15 at the MGM in Las Vegas. And then Deontay Wilder is fighting Dominic Brazil at the Barclays Arena in Brooklyn in the month of May, a couple of days before Anthony Joshua fight. So these two big heavyweights are not going to clash anytime soon. The best time these two heavyweights are going to clash, we're looking at 2020, because the boxing business will not allow that to happen right now. They are trying to marinate that rematch so that by the time it happens, these cats can walk away with close to $100 million apiece.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Terence Crawford, the WBO welterweight champion, Nnamdi, retains his title by defeating Amir Khan, 6th round technical knockout. Some controversy at the end of that fight. Your thoughts, Nnamdi?
I would have to say that Amir Khan was saved by his trainer. He was flawed in the opening round, the 1st round. He was really staggered in round 1. We didn't think he would survive. He came back. And then in the 6th round, it was a very, very brutal low blow by Terence Crawford, which is very dirty. But we felt that Amir Khan exaggerated the low blow, and his trainer bailed him out by stopping the fight. I believe that American got paid and the fines got shafted. That may be his last big payday. But, you know, he's got one big fight with Kell Brook in the UK. And after that, I think American should close shop and move on, because you can't just come and take the money from the fight fans and then walk away and then come back again, try to sell yourself. No. You could have at least taken 5 minutes to cool out. But hey, man, it was a really low blow from down and under, you know, and he may not be able to continue again. So we the fans can blame him and say all that. We were not there in that ring to take that low blow after he got waxed in the first round.
What about Terrence Bud Crawford, Namdi? What does the future hold for him?
They're talking about Terrence Crawford fighting Errol Spence. It's a big fight, but the big weeks in boxing will not allow that to happen anytime soon, because we're talking about two different promoters. We're talking about two different organizations. Bob Arum has Terrence Crawford. Our good friend Al Haymon has Errol Spence. I'm talking about Fox Television and ESPN. The fight is not really that big right now. The demand for the fight is not there. I give it another 1 year. The fight fans will demand it, and these guys can make good money. But right now, if they fight, they can only clear close to $4-5 million, which is no big deal.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao, also in the welterweight division. What's next for the Pac-Man?
Manny Pacquiao is going to take on Keith Thurman. That's almost been set now at Las Vegas MGM, July 20. And it's a very dangerous fight for Pac-Man. And you wonder, at the age of 40, with all the money he made with Floyd Mayweather and all the money he made in the past, why put your body and self in there with a tiger that can knock you silly? And that fight with Floyd Mayweather will be out of the window in a second.
Keith Thurman, no slouch, Namdi. I got to go with Thurman in that fight. Your thoughts?
Well, they looked at Keith Thurman's last fight, and for the fact that he's been laid off due to injury, that they can just go in there and deal with him and run all over him. But don't forget that Keith Thurman is an elite welterweight and younger than Manny Pacquiao. And in a fight like this, Keith Thurman will rise to the occasion and put a beating on Manny Pacquiao. And that will be the end of Manny Pacquiao come July 20 at the MGM Las Vegas. It will be a sad scene to look at.
Let's turn to the African fighters, Namdi. A big Nigerian heavyweight. I know you're very positive about him. Efe Ajagba back in the ring on Saturday night.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Sonny, one and only Efe Ajagba from Ugeli, Nigeria, will go for his first 10-round fight. I've been watching his progression, and I'm very happy. A win on Saturday night against Michael Wallisch out of Germany will put him in a position to headline his own card. Mind you, all his fights, he's 10-0 right now. All his fights and knockouts have been on television. The fight Saturday night is on Showtime. And this, we're talking about millions of eyeballs. Michael Wallisch has a very good record, 19-1 with 12 knockouts. This will be his second fight out of Germany. And remember, Efe Ajagba last fight with Amir Mansour, he knocked him out in the second round. So with Hall of Fame trainer Ronnie Shields and Shelly Finkel, who managed Deontay Wilder, Efe Ajagba is in position to make noise in 2020. And the way he's knocking out cats right now, come on, Sonny, look at the money in the heavyweight, man. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money. And for a young, determined African heavyweight who can really deliver the knockout, which counts in the heavyweight division, he's in a good position.
Efe Ajagba in a good position, young and determined. And yet another Nigerian heavyweight, former world champion Samuel Peter, loses his comeback fight, Namdi. Your thoughts?
It's a situation that sometimes I wonder. Samuel Peter, at the age of 38, on a comeback trail, lost to what we call a journeyman fighter, Mario Hareda. Look at Mario Hareda's record, 16-6-1. And this is an 8-rounder. Guess what happened? Samuel Peter dropped Mario with a right hand in the third round. And the two scores from the judges, 77-74 for Heredia. The other judge scored it 79-72 for Samuel Peter. It was a close fight. But at this time in your career, you should not go into camp weighing 330 pounds. And for the weigh-in, you weighed 285 pounds a day before the fight, which means fight night, you will come into the ring 300 pounds.
Namdi, does that excess weight speak about his lack of dedication?
Right there, Sonny. It shows right there. Because you go into camp with that weight, that means you're going to be walking to take off the weight. I mean, you dropped a man in the third round, you should have been able to take him out or finish him. You don't let him off the hook. You got to step away from the fufu, egusi soup, and goat meat, for God's sake, Sonny. Look at the heavyweight division. These guys are making bank, Sonny. Come on, bro. Let the fufu alone and egusi soup and goat meat, man. Don't come into camp at 330, homeboy. Jeez, Sonny. I'm mad, man. This is the former heavyweight champion of the world, WBC. You should be cleaning up right now, man. Look at all the money these guys are making. But, you know, people say he's done, he's finished. No, I don't think so. He just to rededicate himself, go back into camp, drop those weights. He's a puncher. He's a heavyweight. Former world champion, WBC world champion. You just got to get it together. Get back into the ring. Get three or four more fights. Look at now, they're looking for an opponent for Anthony Joshua. If he was in position, if he's in shape, he lives right here in America. He could have cleared $4 or $5 million June 1, Sonny. you got to be ready, bro. You got to be.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague Shaka Sali will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, recently named 27 referees to officiate at the Nations Cup tournament, which will be held in Egypt from June 21st to July 19th. The officials represent nearly 20 countries from across Africa, including three referees from host Egypt. However, no referees from Nigeria were selected. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the group sports editor of the Lagos-based Vanguard newspaper, Tony Ubani.
It comes with a shock. It is shocking to know that Nigeria, of our highest exploits in football, you know, has not gotten to that level that we can get up to one or two referees in African competitions. That's a shame. It's damning to think about it. And it also shows that our football is not growing. If indeed our players are playing almost in all the leagues in the world, and then administratively our referees are not measuring up equally as it were with the footballers.
Do you think that anybody should be blamed for this?
Of course, blame should be squarely, on the doorstep of the Nigerian Referees Association. Mike, if you look back, if you take a cursory look back to this situation, this is not the first time that this shame of a thing is coming to Nigeria. And the annoying thing is that when things like this happen, we cry wolf, whoa, just immediately after that, everything goes down as if it's normal. It's abnormal for an African Cup of Nations, which Nigeria has won 3 times. Nigeria is a big spender in CAF. Nigeria presently now has Melvin Amaju Pinnick, the president of Nigeria Football Federation, who is the vice president of CAF, who is also the chairman organizing committee of CAF. I don't know how he's going to feel when he sees that no Nigerian referee, no arbiter from Nigeria will be in AFCON. Like we always say, football is a very highly political instrument in everything that they do. Most times the players are going there to do a lot of things, but then knowing that there is a Nigerian referee who will also officiate one or two matches that involves other African countries will also make some of the referees have respect for Nigeria. As it is now, when Nigeria is playing, that means any referee can do anything because there is no way a Nigerian referee can rather retaliate for bad officiating or for whatever it is that will happen to Nigeria. And but like I said, it's not the first time it's happening. It has happened in the World Cups. It has happened in several other AFCON matches played in the past. And that shows that the Nigerian Referees Association are not doing enough. Because if they were doing enough, they would have raised quality referees. We may look at it and then blame CAF. But if you look at the standard that CAF is operating at, they operate with fairness. They want referees that have conscience. They want referees that are knowledgeable, that are schooled in the arts of refereeing. That also casts a lot of doubt on the Nigerian Professional League. If our league is as good as we claim that it is, I don't think that CAF will always overlook Nigeria. That is one thing that we should all be ashamed, that we are playing a professional league in Nigeria, and yet no one referee was found worthy of officiating in Africa's epic football competition, AFCON.
If I may come in now, Tony, what should be done by stakeholders? When I say stakeholders, I mean the Nigerian Football Federation, the Nigerian Referees Association, Nigerian Football Coaches Association, all these stakeholders put together. What can be done to find a solution to this big problem?
We have the president of the Nigerian Referees Association, Tade Aziz, somebody that I know so well, somebody himself who has worked laboriously to get to that position. And one expects that Tade should equally work more on the referees. Organize courses. They have courses. It's just like coaches. You must always upgrade yourself. You don't just stay and live on your past. Football is a very dynamic thing. Courses are organized by CAF, and there are so many others that people even use their money to do. It's just like upgrading yourself as a journalist. You must always go to school. You must always go for some other workshops and all those things. All these things are scattered everywhere in the globe. In Europe, if referees in Nigeria can bring out some of their own money to train themselves, and of course the Nigerian Referees Association, help them in exposing them, going to seminars and of course officiating in some of these matches. I remember that the Asian referees sometimes are brought, to officiate in CAF. That shows you the caliber of what they want. So the Nigerian Referees Association, the Nigerian Football Federation should endeavor to ensure that referees are helped in attending all those high courses, and then it translates in our league.
That's Tony Ubani, the group sports editor of the Lagos-based Vanguard newspaper. And Tony talked with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, Kenya's world record holder in the marathon, Eliud Kipchoge, is in the British capital to defend his title in Sunday's London Marathon. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Eliud earlier Wednesday ahead of the big race. Here's Andy.
Well, Eliud Kipchoge is back in London hunting for his fourth win in the marathon. And of course, he is the world record holder from Berlin last September. Do you prepare any differently for the race in London compared to the race in Berlin? Is there anything that you do differently to take into account London's course?
I can't say I've been training like always. I've never changed anything. But I have changed the thinking that I want to run in a positive and in a good way.
You were certainly very positive last year, impressive as ever for the hat-trick of wins. Just looking at the story of you online and seeing the video of you in the training camp in Kenya, in Kaptagat, and you're talking with your fellow runners about the approach to running and very much a collective effort. That clearly is something very strong in your preparation, in your mental attitude.
I can say the importance of my group, the importance of my group is about teamwork, and teamwork has helped us to go far and go to and go places, and that's why the training has been actually in a positive way. Training has been good, and I can say I've been training well for the last 4 months, and I'm ready for Sunday.
And you also say about perhaps drawing upon the example of cycling teams and athletics and road running and the marathon, taking it stage further. I mean, could you give us a, without betraying any secrets, I mean, how do you see that going? I mean, the future of the marathon, not just Sunday in London, but that aspect of the teamwork and drawing upon cycling.
I can say the future of marathon actually is going towards the teamwork. We have started ourselves. I'm among the team for end and running, and I can value team very much, can train very well, can go and compete actually in near to your fans, you can meet your fans. But I think my dream is to see that marathon will be a team, if and whereby they will be actually announcing the best team, like the way in Formula One they are announcing the constructors team, like the way in cycling they will be actually competing as far as team is concerned.
The traditional image of the runner is almost, well, it may be different in Kenya, but as a lonely person in the West. It's someone who, had, before the running boom, would go out and be running on their own. But Kenyan, and indeed the Ethiopian approach, is very much a collective team strong point. Do you feel that gives you mental as well as physical strength?
Absolutely. If you come together, that's actually a positive for the mind. And that's, I can say, it's both physical and both mental is actually going together, and the team plays a big role on that.
Well, Eliud, look forward to Sunday. Should be a great race, and I'm sure you're going to be up there, and we're fascinated to see what you can do. Eliud Kipchoge, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Eliud Kipchoge, the world record holder and defending champion in Sunday's London Marathon. Eliud spoke with Andy in the British capital. Last year, Eliud Kipchoge and Vivian Cheruiyot led a Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. Eliud won the men's race in 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 17 seconds, while Vivian was the women's winner in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds. Yes, 2018 was truly a memorable year for Eliud Kipchoge. About 5 months after winning in London, he set the world record at the Berlin Marathon in Germany, where he clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. And we'll hear more from energetic Andy Edwards later this week. He says more than 40,000 runners are expected to test their speed and endurance on Sunday at the London Marathon. And that wraps up the April 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The Journal of the American Medical Association released two new studies that examine the sedentary lifestyle in the U.S. One study led by the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis suggests that between 2007 and 2016, time spent sitting among American teenagers rose from 7 hours to a little over 8 hours a day and 5.5 hours to nearly 6.5 hours per day for adults. The other paper from Johns Hopkins Medicine, which studied physical activity of women with cardiovascular disease, found that more than half weren't as physically active as they should have been. They added that the number of the inactive women had increased over the past decade. Sedentary lifestyles have been linked to higher risks of diseases and conditions such as cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast,
covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA.